Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigods Appeal to the Lord, and Text 35 is no purport, so I'll just read the translation. Fire, which is born for the sake of accepting oblations in ritualistic ceremonies, is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fire exists within the depths of the ocean to produce wealth. And fire is also present in the abdomen to digest food and produce various secretions for the maintenance of the body. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. Yat shaksha asi tananir devayanam Traimayo brahmanaye shadishtyam Dwaram cha mukter amritam cha mrityu Prasidatam naksamaha vibhutihi. Yat, that which. Chakshu, I, asit, became, tan, tarani, the sun god, devayanam, the predominating deity for the path of deliverance for the demigods. Trayimaya, for the sake of guidance and karmakanda, Vedic knowledge. Brahmanaha, of the Supreme Truth. Esha, this. Dishnyam, the place for realization. Amritam, the path of eternal life. Cha, as well as. Mrityu, the cause of death. Prasidatam, may he be pleased. Na, upon us. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahavibhutihi, the All-Powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Archiradi Vartma. He is the chief source of understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The sun god is considered to be the chief of the demigods. He is also considered to be the demigod who watches the northern side of this universe. He gives help for understanding the Vedas, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.52. Yats chaksha esha savitasa kalagrahanam Raja samasta suramurti asheshe teja yas yagaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govindamadi purusham tamahang vajami. The sun, full of infinite effulgence, is the king of all the planets and the image of the good soul. The sun is like the eye of the Supreme Lord. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. The sun is actually the eye of the Lord. In the Vedic mantras, it is said that unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees, no one can see. Thus there is sunlight, no living entity on any planet can see. Therefore, the sun is considered to be the eye of the Supreme Lord. It is confirmed here by the words yat chakshur asit, and in the Brahma Samhita by the words yat chakshur esha savita, The word Savita means the sun god. Today we'll go through a series of verses that describe how Krishna is present or represented in the material world by his different energies. At the end of the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, Yadyat vibhutimat sattvam shriman urjitam evava tattav evava gacchatvam mamatejang sasambhava. Know that all beautiful and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Ataiva bhavina yetena kim gatena to Arjuna vishtabhi hamidam krishnam ekam stanas to togrigat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and I support this entire creation. What need is there for all this detailed knowledge, Arjuna? Because with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this cosmic creation. But for us to appreciate, Krishna has mentioned some very prominent things in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, such he's kalosmi bharatarshva. He's time, mrityu sarvaharaschaham, that is time, I take everything away, Krishna says, uvavastra vivishyatam, kirti shir vakta narinam, smritirmeda dritishamaha. That Krishna is the qualities or the manifestations that are prominent in the universe, of which time is very prominent. But others are prominent too, at least in some spheres, such as Brihaspati, or Prahlada's Chasmi Daitanam Kala Kali Tamaham Riganam Cham Rigendra Ham Vainatejas Tapakshinam. Krishna says, of all the deities I am Prahlad, of subduers I am time, of the Mriga, of the animals, he's the lion. Mriga Shirshoham Prahlada's Chaitmi Daityanam Kala Kali Tamaham Riganam Chamrigendroham Vayana Teja Sapakshanam. And of all the birds, he's Garuda. Now, most of us don't know Garuda. As a matter of fact, before we came to this movement, I'm sure none of us knew who Garuda was. And what to speak of Prahlad Maharaj. Time, everyone's familiar with. Prahlada's Chaiti Daityanam. Prahlada's Chaismi Daityanam. Kala Kali Tama. Mriganam Tamrigendraham. So we've gone from Garuda, who can pick up elephants, to the ordinary lion. But people are impressed by lions. Things which are within our sphere, where we say the king of the beasts is the lion. Two, birds such as Garuda, who can pick up elephants and gigantic tortoises. The time, that these are all manifestations of Krishna's energy. And therefore, if we saw Garuda, hopefully we remember Krishna too. Oh, you're Krishna's carrier. You look familiar. I heard about you somewhere. Bhagavad Gita, I think. Or when we see the ordinary lion, we can remember Krishna. Now, of course, I don't know if the demigods listen when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, but they have their own ideas which is important in the universe. And here they're pointing out that the sun, the chief of the demigods, is important because Krishna's eye is the sun. But what does that mean? We know that Krishna, he can see without the sun. It's not that for the rest, when the creation is not manifested, then Krishna is blind. He kind of like bumps around in the spiritual world. One of his dogs in the spiritual world, because Krishna has a pet dog, is a seeing eye dog. Now Krishna can see even in the dark. He doesn't need the sun to see. As evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the elderly gopis came to complain against Krishna for stealing butter and yogurt, Mother Jasoda suggested that they place the butter and yogurt, because the butter and yogurt was kept in a dark place so the sun wouldn't spoil it. It wouldn't go bad very easily. It was kept in dark cellars. So Mother Jasoda said that you should be careful, and if necessary, that you should prevent them from stealing it. But the gopi said, well, we keep it in the dark, but somehow or another, Krishna has all these jewels, and the jewels light up in the dark, and therefore he's able to find out where the butter and yogurt is. So Mother Jasoda said, yes, I'll take away all the jewels, and therefore he won't be able to see in the dark. And the elderly gopi said, no, no, it won't work, because Krishna, he and Balaram, they have this kind of effulgence that it lights up everything in the dark anyhow, even without their jewels. So what can you do? You can't take their effulgence away. So Krishna doesn't need the sun to see, but we need the sun to see. And it is said, sarvata padi param tat, sarvata shri shrimo mukam, sarvata shruti maloke, sarma vritya tishtiti. Everywhere are his eyes and legs, and his hands are expanded everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists everywhere. So that means what we think is our eyes, which we think are our hands, which we think are our legs, are actually Krishna's hands and legs and eyes. And therefore, Krishna has given himself the ability to see by manifesting the sun and giving us eyes that can be utilized the sun. Now, of course, the super soul could see, but he also sees indirectly through us. He knows what we're seeing. But unless he had the sun, he couldn't see indirectly through us, because we wouldn't be able to see anything. So in that way, the sun is the eye of the Lord. And similarly, as we go through the different elements in the universe here, we'll find out that Krishna has placed them here so that we can act. Because we know that Krishna has placed them here so we can perform sacrifice for him. If not, we can go around imagining that we're independently of Krishna. So he's also placed it here to aid our causeless unwillingness to serve him and remain in a dreamlike state, imagining ourselves to be independent of Krishna. Although nothing is going on without Krishna, nothing at all, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's desire, still he's created a world where we can imagine that something's going on outside of Krishna's desire. Although through his energies, Krishna is arranging everything at every moment. But in order to explain that we're totally dependent, the demigods will explain in the following verses, which Prabhupada doesn't give any purport to, so we're going to go through them today. Otherwise, and then we have a purport approximately 7 or 8 verses later. Any questions so far before we go into the verses? All living entities, moving and non-moving, receive their vital force, their bodily strength, and their very lives from the air. All of us follow the air for our vital force, exactly as servants follow an emperor. The vital force of air is generated from the original vital force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. So the very thing that keeps us alive comes from Krishna. There's nothing outside of Krishna, except for our thinking that there's something outside of Krishna. The only thing that's outside of Krishna is our consciousness. Everything else is controlled completely by Krishna. May the supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. The different directions are generated from his ears. The holes of his body come from his heart. The holes of the body come from his heart. And the vital force, the senses, the mind, and the air within the body, and ether, which is the shelter of the body, come from his navel. So if we can't, if you don't understand this, well, I don't understand it either, so. It's certainly interesting to read. Mahendra, the king of heaven, was generated from the prowess of the Lord. The demigods were generated from the mercy of the Lord. Lord Shiva was generated from the anger of the Lord, and Lord Brahma from his sober intelligence. The Vedic mantras were generated from the bodily wholes of the Lord, and the great saints and Prajapatis were generated from his genitals. May that supremely powerful Lord be pleased with us. The goddess of fortune was generated from his chest, the inhabitants of Pitri Loka from his shadow, religion from his bosom, and irreligion, the opposite of religion, from his back. The heavenly planets were generated from the top of his head, and the apsaras from his sense enjoyment. May that supremely powerful personality of Godhead be pleased with us. Of course, we know that the material nature is a perverted reflection of Krishna. And Krishna's planet called Goloka Vrindavan. So what's real, what's permanent, and which is temporary and illusory, all these comes from Krishna's original body. Eka desha sitas yagya tuchoshnad vistrisi yata parasha brahmana shakti satedam akilam jagat. Just like fire may be in one place, but is diffusing as heat and light everywhere, so Krishna is in one place, Goloka Vrindavan, and from him he's diffusing all his energies all over the spiritual and material universes. So Krishna is in one place, and we're connected with him through his energies now. And also, we're connected to him directly through his words in the Bhagavad Gita and his example of his acharyas, etc., etc. So Krishna is there whenever one is chanting his glories also. Of course, Krishna is everywhere, but we're there where we're chanting Krishna's glories. Then we become aware of Krishna, and to become aware of Krishna means that Krishna is there. He may not be personally present, and for instance, in every atom, he's present there by his expansion, which is his personality, but not manifesting his original personality, more or less watching everything and giving everyone the results of the karma. But simultaneously, he's in Goloka Vrindavan in his transcendent loving pastimes with his associates there, and we can be there if we remember him, if we perform devotional service, and in that mood remember him, then Krishna can actually be present with us even here in what seems to us to be a material world, which will then become part of the spiritual world. In other words, Krishna can immediately transform any place into Goloka Vrindavan if we want to be with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. He can come and that place will be Goloka Vrindavan. And if we want to be apart from Krishna, then Krishna remains apart. And we're in what we consider to be the material universe, the material existence. The Brahmins and Vedic knowledge come from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kshatriyas and bodily strength come from his arms. The Vaishyas and their expert knowledge and productivity and wealth come from his thighs. And the Shudras, or outside the Vedic knowledge, come from his feet. May that Supreme Personality of God has full of prowess, full in prowess, be pleased with us. Greed is generated from his lower lip, affection from his upper lip, bodily lust from his nose. Interesting. Could anyone explain how bodily lust comes from his nose? Amalistic lusty desires from his sense of touch. Yamaraj from his eyebrows. And eternal time from his eyelashes. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. So obviously the demigods have a level of realization about Krishna which is way beyond ordinary realization. And Prabhupada's and our acharyas apparently have not even bothered to write a purport about these things. So we'll just leave it up to, when we come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, to understand these things. But rather than reading the next verse, which will be a whole lecture in itself, there's finally a purport here. I'll just stop here and ask if there's any questions. Yes. It's get it yourself microphone today.
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj. So sometimes people have this idea that Krishna consciousness, they are convinced about it. But now they have some things to solve. Like they have a debt and they will pay this debt and then they will surrender to Krishna. So how can we help these kind of people?
Well, if you can, give them money to pay off their debt. Just chant Hare Krishna with them, take Prasadam together and whatever, and hope for the best. What to say? There's so many people, they say so many things, and they do so many things, but ultimately they're fortunate. At least they know about Krishna, and they have the desire to surrender at some time. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. It's a theoretical person with a theoretical desire, with a theoretical debt, so it's very hard to give a concrete answer to something so theoretical. We help everyone by telling them about Krishna, that's all. Anything else?
Something more. So maybe if you can say something why we do deity worship. Some ideas.
I don't know. What do you do deity worship? Well, it's because Krishna wants us to worship him. The more we worship Krishna, the more Krishna reveals himself to us. The more we treat him like a person, the more we realize he's a person. So we worship Krishna so we can be reinstated in our natural position of worshiping him. Because he's all worshipable. He's all attractive. He has all opulence. And naturally we're attracted by Krishna's kindness, by his beauty, by his affection, by all his good qualities. So when we worship him, then we get out of Maya and all these things are revealed to us. And then we have a nice loving relationship with Krishna. So basically, deity worship and all the other services we do via powerful process to quickly help us revive our loving relationship with Krishna so we can be reinstated in our natural position of loving Krishna rather than his external energy. We have to love something. Either we love Krishna or we have to love his external energy, his dead energy. So we love his external energy, his dead energy in the form of his body and things related to the body, then we simply suffer. And if we love Krishna, then we eternally are happy in a loving relationship with him. Anything else?
So, some questions from Avadhutaraya Prabhu. First, I had one more question yesterday. If we reject water, water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen, the two gaseous elements, it seems to me we also reject that from airy elements water was created. What is our philosophy? Later, from water, fire was created. What do you think?
Well, that's what it says in the Bhagavatam. That's what we accept. They're from ether, the sound. Under certain circumstances, air is generated. Plus everything else that it describes is generated. I mean, I'm not doing it. I can't show you. I have no personal experience. From ether, air is being generated. But that's what it says in the scriptures, so we accept it. We accept it. We don't reject it because we have no experience one way or the other. At least I don't. So we don't accept it blindly. We don't reject it blindly. But we just say it's a better explanation. It's more authoritative because scripture tells us that Krishna is God. And we can see that. There's the supreme intelligence. And then at least scripture tells us how things are being created here. So unless Krishna shows us gives us, you know, a seminar and shows us practically how he's creating these things, it remains rather theoretical. But it doesn't make any difference because it's already there. We already have earth, water, fire, air, ether. It's already there. However he did it, we have it. Now we're supposed to use it in Krishna service. That's what we can do. That's within our influence. As far as creating these things, it's beyond our power. But it's within our influence that we can utilize these things in Krishna service. So that's an important part of it. However it got there. Anything else?
Next question. The spiritual world is an unlimited area. Does it have above a north, another north, or has no west, east, north, etc.?
I can't remember. I haven't been there in a long time. Besides, I didn't have a compass to figure it out. It describes the spiritual world as above us. So I guess it's, relatively speaking, from us, it's north. But I think if you go there, it makes, you know, they probably have, in Goloka Vrindavan, if Krishna wants to go to Govardhan, he has to have some idea where it is. So there's some sense of direction in there. Yes. Is that it?
Okay, one more. I was pondering when it is said that certain types of personalities are created from certain parts of the body of the Lord. Does that mean that various parts of the body have certain ability? So those abilities are imparted in certain personalities according to their karma. What do you think?
Krishna's body is angani yasya sakalandriya vritimante. Every part can perform the activities of every other part. But there are certain normal ways he does things. Like when he's talking to Srimati Radharani, he usually speaks with his mouth rather than through his finger. Especially in Goloka Vrindavan, they follow certain patterns. So there's certain designated parts of his body that usually performs those functions. Otherwise, it would be very strange in Goloka Vrindavan, suddenly if Krishna's foot is eating prasadam, it'd rather be a little unusual. Therefore, Krishna speaks with his mouth, he sees with his eyes, generally speaking, but he can do anything he wants. But he follows certain norms. Just like in Goloka Vrindavan, the trees can move about and dance, but when Krishna is having his rasa dance, they usually stay still. Don't get, they start rocking with him. Because otherwise it would spoil the rasa dance. Anything else? Right on time. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.